It's good to be in the house of the Lord together to honor and worship His holy name. There is nothing like it. It's a wonderful day because it's the Lord's day. So no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your experience, God is here and He is longing to just grab hold of you and take you in His arms and just love on you. So let Him this morning. Let Him. I love that song, and God has good plans. Romans 8:28. We know that verse very well. And God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love Him and called according to His purpose. Now, sometimes in our thinking, we say, hey, you know what? I can't wait. God's working the good out, but I'm experiencing pain right now. Or I'm going through a difficult decision, or I'm filled with worry, or I'm struggling with an illness. Whatever that may be, God's ultimate desire is to mold in your life the very image and character of His Son, Jesus Christ. To be like Him. To love like Him, to be in fellowship with the Father like He was, to demonstrate the power of the Spirit in all things. God's desire is that for you. There's another verse that I like in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know that very well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And we've heard that. But it makes it personal when you change it and you say, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge Him, and He will direct my paths. What will it take for you to go from declaring that to someone else for you to declare it for yourself? God wants to move you closer to Himself today, so you can reflect the image of His glorious Son. Praise His holy name. We are in Isaiah chapter 33 this morning, and we are continuing our study of Isaiah. If I were to tell you the whole book, I would say it's a new beginning. God wants to do something new in and through you. And chapter 33 is a wonderful chapter. Some theologians call it like maybe a psalm that Isaiah kind of wrote because it's packed full of wonderful truth. But I would tell you that it is about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come, God Almighty, and that He is a sure foundation in our times. The Lord is a sure foundation in our times. We take that for granted. Maybe we've forgotten it. Maybe we don't understand it. But God is a sure foundation for our times. If I showed you this picture, there's four pictures up here, and I think Isaiah touches on all of them. Bricks, sand, a sponge, and a sailboat. Now, I always go back to my days as my kids were growing up and watching television and Sesame Street was on. It says, one of these things doesn't belong here. Well, all of these things kind of belong in chapter 33. How so? Well, the bricks refer to building a firm foundation. If you don't have a strong foundation, everything else becomes weak. And it crumbles. Many of you know that. Sand is used to make bricks, but some of us would rather just build on sand. And in Florida, we experience some things called sinkholes. And not too far from here in Valrico, there was a couple of houses, if you recall, that got sunk completely because of sinkholes. There wasn't a firm foundation underneath. Isaiah has something to say about that. There's a sponge. And all of us are like sponges. We are. We like to soak things up. What's grabbing your attention? Is it social media? Is it Facebook? Is it the games on your iPhone? What is grabbing your attention? It's soaking you up. It's just filling the pores of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And you are just becoming overwhelmed, intoxicated, influenced by everything that soaks you up. And you need God, the Holy Spirit, to come in and wring it out so you get all of that impurities out. I read one writer on a blog that says, even if you wring it all out, sometimes they found in sponges there's still some bad bacteria left in there. Who can get that out? Sometimes you put it in a microwave, right? You take your sponges, wring them out, clean them, put them in a microwave to sterilize them. You want to zap them. You want to get all that bad bacteria out. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to go and move in your heart and your soul and your mind in such a way to get all the bad stuff out. David even prayed, Lord, forgive me of the sins I don't even know about. The unknown sins, forgive me of that. Cleanse me of that. I want to move closer to you, to be like Jesus. Then Isaiah talks about a sailboat. We like sailboats. But here he uses this. In the end of the chapter, in verse 23, he compares this sails of like the Assyrian army. You recall the history? Assyria was marching in, and they're going to wipe them out. And they made a treaty. They tried to say, Egypt, come help us. And Isaiah was saying, God doesn't want you to trust in Egypt. He wants you to trust in him. Don't trust in Egypt. Don't trust in their power. Don't trust in their might. And Hezekiah was kind of torn, you know, but he finally woke up and smelled the coffee, so to speak, and he did not trust in Egypt. He was trusting in God, and God delivered them, wiping out the whole army overnight by just one angel of the Lord. And we could talk about angels and their mighty power, but God did that because he trusted. And so the sailboat is like an Assyrian ship coming in, but God's not going to allow them to go down the rivers. He's going to protect his people. The winds and the waves will not destroy his people. God's mercy will flow and will flow through. And he, of course, will have the victory, and the ship will go off course and into ruin. It reminds me of two New Testament stories. Jesus said that, right? He talked about the two men, right? The foolish man. We've sung that story, right? Foolish man built his house upon the sand. In Luke chapter 6, 46, Jesus says to this, he says, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building his house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when the floods came, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently against, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Wow. Who would you like to be? What foundation are you building your life upon? Isaiah says to the people of God here that he's speaking to, God wants to be the foundation in your life because he is a sure foundation today. Verse 6 in our chapter says this, he will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The sure foundation, the English Standard Version says, he will be stability. God gives stability. If we ever need stability in our day and age, it is today. God is the one who gives it. He is the foundation that we need to stand upon and rest in. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 89, 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. He is our sure foundation. He is our stability. The Contemporary English Version puts this verse this way: you are the foundation on which we stand today. You always save us and give true wisdom and knowledge. Nothing means more to us than obeying you. New American says that he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation. And the Message, Eugene Peterson wrote it this way: God is supremely esteemed. He center holds. Zion brims over with all that is just and right. God keeps your days stable and secure. Salvation, wisdom, and knowledge and surplus, and best of all, Zion's treasure, fear of God. Is your day today filled with that kind of security, stability, peace, treasure, the reverence, the awe-ness, the wonder, the intimacy, the power, the presence of God? Isaiah says, the Lord is a sure foundation. And then he moves on in this chapter, I believe, and lays it out. He says, the reason he is, the reason you can put your trust in him, the reason you can stand upon him as the rock of rocks, the reason no matter what's going on around you, no matter if the enemy is at the door threatening to wipe you out, and it looks like on the world's venue, it looks like the world's gonna win, but you have God. And you're trusting in his salvation, his victory, his provision, his protection. Have you ever heard that statement? One plus God, you plus God is a majority. Amen. Have you ever heard that? Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So the Lord is a sure foundation in our time because, first of all, we see here in verse 1 that he avenges the arrogant. There are those that are filled with pride and they think they've got it all together and they're out to get you and out to destroy you, and you think that you don't have a chance, but you're trusting in the Lord. Listen to what Isaiah says in verse 1. Ah, you destroyer, who yourself have not been destroyed, you traitor, whom none has betrayed. When you have ceased to destroy, you will be destroyed. And when you have finished betraying, they will betray you. In other words, God was speaking through the prophets, saying to Israel, yes, I've raised Assyria up to grab your attention, to catch you so that you will put your trust and hope in me and not in others, not be filled with idols and other worship. I need to be first place in your life. And as you put me first, I will protect you. And that tool that I use, Assyria, to bring punishment upon you, they are filled with pride and pompous pride. There's no humility in them. There's no dependence upon me as God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, those who have ceased to destroy, they will be destroyed. And they will not experience victory. And God did that. Assyria marched around. Sennacherib, the king, was around, and he was making threats. And as they went to bed that night, the angel of the Lord came through and destroyed the Assyrian army. They left. And then Sennacherib's sons killed their father and took over the throne. God deserves our worship and our worth. He deserves our attention. He deserves to be our priority. He deserves to develop in you passion and love. He wants the very good for you. He's not out to get you. He wants you to worship him and to love him as best you can with your will. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength. Give yourself to him. Give yourself to him. Psalmist says, God shall arise and his enemies will be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. The Lord is a sure foundation. He avenges the arrogant, but he also hears the prayer of the humble. Notice what the people of God here pray in verse 2. They say, O Lord, be gracious to us. Be gracious to us. We wait for you. Be our arm every morning. In other words, be the extension. Work in us and through us. May we accomplish your will, your plan, your way. Be our arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble. Lord, we need you. We want you. We desire to honor you. We desire to serve you. So come and have your way in our life. Nothing's holding back. There's humility. There's brokenness, yes, but there's confession. There's confession. That's where the sponge comes in. I'm humble. Lord, I want to soak more of you up in my life than the things of this world. I want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me continually, 24/7, more than Twitter or Facebook or Fox or CNN or the government or anything else. I want you, Lord. The way to get to know God is put your trust in him. Get alone with him. Get his word out. Put it in front of you. And then read it. If you're having trouble, read it. Get the Bible app or get some device and push play and let it soak up your mind. Let it soak up your heart. There are days when I'm driving in the car and I'm not listening to music. I love music. Man, I do. But I don't listen to it. I want sometimes quiet, but then I put my phone on and I get the Bible app on and I hit play. I want to hear the scriptures. I want to hear the scriptures. Do you want to hear the scriptures? Next, we see that the Lord is a sure foundation. Not only does he hear your prayer, but he is exalted above all. Notice verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-loving. And there will be a day, and we quote it a lot, that there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. We may not feel it. We may not experience victory right now. But guess what? There's coming a day that the Lord will be exalted. Revelation speaks of this, chapter 5, verse 12. The angel said in a loud voice, all power, wealth, wisdom, and strength belong to the Lamb who was killed. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. All power, wealth, and wisdom and strength are his. All honor and glory and praise are his. God will be exalted. Christ will be on the throne. And he is worth trusting in because he is on the throne. Verse 6 speaks about that the Lord is a sure foundation because he brings an abundance of blessings, the source of Zion's treasure, the treasure of the city of God, the people of God, where they dwell. It speaks about that he will bring salvation and wisdom and knowledge and that reverential awe, the fear of the Lord. He will be Zion's treasure. This displays newfound faith and trust in the people of God in this very terrifying situation. In other words, God is speaking through Isaiah to the people at that very crucial time. Are we going to trust in the Lord or are we going to trust in the power of Egypt? God already said Egypt's not going to save us. They've already been wiped out. The army is around the city. There's destruction that's going to happen. God, we need you. We are trusting in you. And God responds and he says, you are my treasure. There will be salvation and wisdom and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And they cry to him for grace, knowing they don't deserve his deliverance. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Fearing him, one commentator says, fearing him, they need not fear anything else. Think about that. If I put my trust in God Almighty, if I'm relying upon Him as my salvation, I don't have to worry or fret or be filled with the fear of the world or the worry of life, because I'm trusting in Him as my protection, as my provider, as my deliverer. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure, and fearing Him, they need fear nothing else. God in His almighty, majestic power lowers Himself to embrace His creatures that He's made in His likeness and His image, who are marred with the mark of sin. And He says, I want you to return and repent and trust in. This is reflected in Matthew in the New Testament in chapter 12. Speaks of Jesus. Verse 18 says, behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. This was not just only the Gentiles, but that Christ, the Messiah, is bringing salvation to all who will put their trust in Him. The Lord is our sure foundation. He brings salvation to those who trust in Him. Then we see in verse 7 through 9 that the Lord is a sure foundation because man cannot save himself. And we know this. All his efforts fall short. Paul told the Romans what? That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as we pointed out last week, the verse before that, verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. In other words, if you believe in Christ, you've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That doesn't give us a license to be pompous and filled with righteous pride, saying, oh, I'm better than everybody else because I got the robes of Christ. No. We should fall on our knees and be grateful and be humble and be thankful. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The only reason that we can enter the throne room, the only reason that we can come in the Holy of Holies is because of Jesus Christ. He has justified us by His grace as a gift. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. It says there in verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation, a substitute, an atonement by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Wow, there's a lot there. That's thick and rich and deep. And maybe for us this morning, maybe it's just too much. It's just zoom, zoom, zoom over our heads. And we have to come back and say, Lord, I need You. And I don't understand why I'm considered righteous, because I don't feel righteous. I don't think righteous thoughts. I don't do righteous things. I feel dirty. I feel unworthy. I feel like I don't belong. And God says, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. My Son, who I gave out of love for you, I gave out of love for you, took upon Himself all that dirty thoughts. He took upon Himself all that unworthy thinking. He took upon Himself all those actions of wickedness or unrighteousness. He took upon Himself all of your sin, past, present, and future, and He gave you His gift of salvation, delivering you and placing in you His Holy Spirit, who is not wicked, His Holy Spirit, who is pure and holy, His Holy Spirit, who is totally good. He's placed His Spirit within you to do works of righteousness that reflect Him. It's His righteousness in you, clothed upon you, and you've been justified by His grace. You have been bought by His blood, His divine presence is in you. And he did this out of his forbearance, his patience, his wisdom, to say, old is gone, all is new. Remove the sin as far as the east is from the west. And he's even given you the mind of Christ to think those thoughts which are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Philippians 4:8. So we cannot save ourselves. We need to trust in the one who can, and that's Jesus Christ. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? We see that God is all-powerful, and we can trust in him as our sure foundation because he will destroy the treacherous. Verse 10, it says, now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. In other words, I see the condition of my people. I know what's going on. Nothing's escaped me. Now is the day of salvation. I'm going to rise up, exalt myself, and bring victory. He says, hear, you who are far off, in verse 13, what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. Nothing and no one will escape his judgment. God rises up in power and exalts himself by destroying the treacherous and turning their wicked schemes back on them. The report of God's awesome power will reach the ends of the earth. And such a vision of God's holy power causes the people of God on earth, Zion, to be filled with tremble and fear and terror. But always when you read the New Testament and when an angel of the Lord, it says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The effects of great judgments may have some kinship with those of spiritual revival, for a new sense of God, his power and his holiness overtakes the sinners in Zion, writes one commentator. Hebrews says this, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Verse 12 refers to that fire, and the peoples will be as if burned to lime, like thorns cut down that are burned in the fire. Verse 14 speaks of it. Who among us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burning? And that's talking about God and his power and his holiness. Our God is a consuming fire. But we can stand in his presence if we know Christ. We've been redeemed. Like that hymn. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed. And then, beautifully, we see the Lord is a sure foundation in our times because he is the majestic king that saves and will be seen. He is. There's a beautiful picture of this. Hymns have been written on this verse. Verse 17. It says here, verse 17. Your eyes will behold the king in his beauty. I will see the king in his beauty. Your eyes will behold the king in his beauty. They will see a land that stretches afar. Your heart will muse on the terror. Where is he who counted? Where is he who weighed the tribute? Where is he who counted the towers? You will see no more the insolent people, the people of an obscure speech that you cannot comprehend, stammering in a tongue that you cannot understand. Behold Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, an untroubled habitation, an immovable tent whose stakes will never be plucked up, nor will any of its cords be broken. But there the Lord in majesty will be for us. Think about that. He's saying Jerusalem will experience the presence of God, untroubled habitation, an immovable tent. Why? Because God is in the midst of her. God will bring peace. God will establish His righteousness and His glory and His rule and His reign. And it says there, the Lord will be for us, verse 21, a place of broad rivers and streams where no galley with oars can go, nor majestic ships can pass. Why? Because God is providing mercy and grace for His people. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Wow. I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord is today, but I trust that you are courageous enough, at least humble enough, willing enough to say, yes, Lord, I need you. I need to place my feet on a firm foundation, a sure foundation. Maybe you've been caught up in other stuff, allowing just to soak in your soul like a sponge. You've been soaking in the internet, or you've been soaking in social media, or you've been soaking in other people's views, and you've neglected listening to the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, to soak with Him. Maybe you're trusting in something else, like Israel was tempted to trust in Egypt because of all their military might and all the glamour that they displayed to the nation. And you're tempted to trust in something else, all the power or prestige of something or the glamour of something else instead of trusting in the Lord. God is calling you and I to trust in Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed at night, in all our ways to acknowledge Him, knowing that He will give guidance and leadership. He will direct our paths. He will give wisdom. And He will be our treasure. Wow. Our treasure. Like that one individual who went to a plot of field and started digging up, and all of a sudden he found a treasure there. And so he went back and he sold everything he had in order to buy that piece of property in order to obtain that treasure. And he did. And he found that the treasure was Christ, Jesus Christ. Is He your treasure? Is He your longing? Is He your heart's desire? Is He the King of your life? Isaiah says, your eyes will behold the King in His beauty. You see a land that stretches afar. There's that hope of us being with Him once and for all eternity in His presence, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. But God wants us to experience His presence right now, today, in our lives. Right now. He wants you to experience His peace. He wants you to experience His power. He wants you to experience His wisdom. And it takes a step of faith. Lord, I will trust in You as my sure foundation. So do you want to be like that person that builds his house upon the sand? Or do you want to be like that person who builds his house upon the rock? What is God saying to you from His word? And how will you apply it in your life today? We're coming to the table of the Lord. And as we come, we celebrate and remember His death as well as His resurrection. But it's because of what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary that we can enter in. And maybe you've got some issues that are going on in your life that you need to just say to Him, Lord, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. I need You. I need You. So let's pray and ask the Lord to do that, to speak to our hearts as we prepare for the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that You will just move among us right now. We pray, Lord, that You will just work in our lives and capture our attention and our thoughts, that we may hear clearly from You. Lord, we confess that we are a people sometimes that we are running here and there. We're soaking up all this other stuff in our life and our days instead of spending time with You, hearing You first, listening to your word to our hearts. We pray that you will help us to clearly hear you, to clearly be drawn to you, and to say, yes, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm putting my faith in you. I'm leaning not on my own understanding, but I'm resting in you. I'm acknowledging you. So, Lord, I pray that you'll move in these moments, that you will bless our time together as we celebrate the breaking of the bread, as we celebrate the blood of Christ being shed on the cross, as we celebrate the victory that is ours in Christ because he rose again and is coming again for all who have put their faith and trust in him. So, Lord, we ask your blessing and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.